A little mystery music to get us started on the show today. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. I hope your summer reading list isn't already too long, because we have another one to add to it. Our guest today is Patricia Skalka, the author of the Dave Kubiak Door County Mystery Series. And we'll be talking to her about the latest edition. It's titled Death Washes Ashore. Are you a fan of the series? What questions do you have for Patricia? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Again, love to hear from you. Patricia Skalka, welcome to the show. Nice to have you back.
Thank you, Larry. Good morning. It's nice to be here.
So for those new to the series, maybe it would be best to start by talking a little bit about Dave's Kubiak. Who is Dave Kubiak?
Ah, good question. Dave Kubiak is a former Chicago homicide detective who endured a terrible tragedy when his wife and daughter were killed. He thought he was at least partially responsible, could have prevented it. So he just becomes a mess. You know, he drinks himself out of his job. He just loses all hope. He just doesn't want to have anything to do with life. He doesn't want to have anything to do with death and people. His former partner convinces him to retrain, in which he does. He goes back to school for a bit, and he ends up in Door County working as a park ranger. And it's in that capacity that he solves the first mystery, which is in the first book, Death Stalks Door County. And the reason to have him there is because the book, the story, is about all of these sinister forces at work beneath the beautiful veneer of Door County. And it's a story that reaches back in time. And I wanted someone, my protagonist, to be someone who didn't know the people, who didn't know the stories, didn't know the history of, you know, who was friends way back when, who had a grudge from way back when. So he has to figure it all out, as the reader has to follow him and figure it all out as the story progresses. And when you meet Dave in that book, all he wants to do is leave Door County. He's like the one person who doesn't like being there. It's too friendly. It's too nice. It's the exact opposite of this darkness that is in his heart and soul. And of course that all changes over the course of the book. By the end of the book, he gets elected sheriff after solving this horrendous crime. And then the series takes off from there.
Yeah. And his character has developed, I think, quite a bit over the six books. I've read all six, so.
Well, you know, each writers talk about the story arc, and each book has this concept, the story arc, which is essentially a beginning, a middle, and end. It's like a three-act play. You have act one, act two, and then, you know, the resolution in act three or at the end of act two. And the series itself, in my mind, has a story arc, an overriding arc, and that is Dave Kubiak's personal journey of redemption, forgiveness, reconnecting with himself, with the world, with his obligations to the world. So the books move through time. He grows older by several years in each of the books. Each of the people around him, his kind of new friends and colleagues, also grow older, as we all do. And I'm moving him. You know, he started in such a bad place, I couldn't leave him there. And the only way I could figure out to help him was to have this movement through time. So in the first book, he's 42. In the current book, he's 57 in Death Washes Ashore. So we've covered a lot of time, and there has been opportunity for healing and for change, which is kind of what life is about in many ways. You know, everyone has tragedies they've endured, and then, well, not everyone, but many of us do, many people, and we certainly all experience change over time. And so that's what's happening with him.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to do it, I think. It was kind of fun to, when I read the second book, there a lot of time has gone by. I was kind of surprised at first, but it felt fine. And it is kind of nice to have that sort of arc to books. Not all books are that, series books are that way, for sure.
No, that's true. And it's a decision that I made right at the beginning. In fact, I didn't even intend to write a series. I was going to write what's called a standalone one and done, and that was going to be Deathstalk's Door County. And by the time, as I was working on it, more ideas were coming into my mind, and I'm thinking, well, there could be a second one and then a third one. So it went from one book to, I was thinking, four, one per season. And then pretty soon I was working on five, and Death Washes Ashore is the sixth book in the series. So it has moved along. And it's interesting that readers they relate to Dave. They relate to his struggles. They relate to the pain that he's endured. And I mean, I get emails from people who tell me that in many ways his story is their story, or it reflects something that has happened in their lives. And they're kind of rooting for him. It was very touching. I did not expect that to happen. It was a huge surprise. That Dave, who starts off as kind of this morose, antagonistic person, becomes a hero. And kind of steps into the spotlight as a someone. One of the readers described him as a man who does the right thing. He told me, I did a reading, and this was up in Sturgeon Bay, and he came up to me afterwards, and he said, "I like Kubiak because he's a man who does the right thing." And I thought, wow, I was very touched by that.
Yeah, I would imagine you would be. That's a very nice compliment. And I have to say, like through about the first third or of the first book, I didn't like him very much.
Well, that I've had other people say that too, and of course, in retrospect, I have to look back at it and think, what was I thinking to create a protagonist who really was not a likable person? He was rude. He was a loner. He was a drunk. He was not the kind of person you'd want to, kind of sit around and chat with. In fact, he wouldn't chat with you if you sat down next to him. But I think I just was trying to convey the pain in his heart. And from, people say that's what they feel. That's what they have felt. That's what it's like. And then his slowly kind of coming back to life, re-embracing the world around him, and kind of just, I don't like the word closure, but he learns how to accept what has happened and how to move on. And that's very critical.
Yeah. And here we are in book six. Your murder victim is found in very unusual circumstances. Maybe you can at least describe some of the circumstances of it.
Yes, the idea, what happened with the sixth book, Death Washes Ashore, is two ideas merged. One was a beach neighbor told me about a big storm where a boat had washed ashore and had been flipped over. And he said, wouldn't it be funny if there was a body under it? And we kind of chortled about that. And I thought, well, I don't think I can use that, but it stayed with me. And then my younger daughter was talking about this program of live action role playing, or LARPing, which is very popular in Europe and growing in popularity here. It's where people enact roles for stories that they either do kind of spontaneously or they follow scripts for. So it could be a fantasy thing, it could be whatever. And a lot of it is medieval. So as soon as I started thinking about medieval and King Arthur and the Round Table, and I got the idea of a place in Door County that would be called Door Camelot, I thought, oh, I have to do this. And then I suddenly realized that there would be a body under a boat. It would be connected with Door Camelot. And since the medieval theme is very strong, obviously he's going to be dressed, he or she will be dressed in a medieval costume. So this is what the sheriff discovers, like this person not looking the way one would look. First of all, also, a dead body on the beach. And the story spins off from there. And it was fun to write it. It was fun to kind of weave all of this together. And I must say, I do really like the idea of Dark Camelot. I hope someone does establish one as such a center at some point. It doesn't exist. It's all, you know, it's all fictionalized. But it was an interesting idea. And what comes out, LARPing is where you pretend to be something else. You know, you pretend to be a knight, you pretend to be a Guinevere, you pretend to be Friar Tuck, you know, or a space explorer or whatever. And so part of the theme of the book is this idea of dreams, who you kind of envision or wish you could be, or you step away from your ordinary daily life, and for those few hours or a day or a weekend, you literally become someone else. It's a form of escaping. It's a form of actualizing a dream that you might always have had that you can't realize in the day-to-day existence that you live. So that's part of one of the themes in the book. And there's also this concept of intertwined relationships and how there's human nature to protect those you love. So that happens on a number of different layers between different characters in the story.
It does indeed. I'm just curious, what are your thoughts? Would you be a LARPer?
You know, I thought about that a lot, Larry, and I realized that in a sense, I'm a LARPer when I'm writing the books.
Yeah.
I get to go live. I don't put on a costume, but I get to go live in this different place and kind of try to imagine what people are experiencing and how they're feeling. And so maybe I am LARPing in my own little way.
Oh, man. Patricia Skalka, our guest today, author of the Dave Kubiak Door County Mystery Series. Her latest, the sixth book, is called Death Washes Ashore. Love to have you join in. Are you a fan of the series? What do you like about Dave Kubiak? What's your recommendation maybe for a book or book series set in Wisconsin? Maybe you've got an idea for Patricia for another book down the road. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us. The email address is ideas@WPR.org. Jill Nadeau, our producer today. Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Our guest today, our first guest, Patricia Skalka. Her book, Death Washes Ashore, is what we're talking about. We're really talking about the six books that are so far in the series. Well, I'm going to ask her if there's maybe more down the road. But you can join in with your own questions about the book series or just about fiction writing itself. Maybe you've got a recommendation for a book for Patricia, or maybe you have a series that you like, maybe set in Wisconsin. Give a call, 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. I want to go back to the beginning because I like how you set your murder scenes up in your books. You spend a lot of time getting that murder scene written?
Oh, I do. I spend a lot of time first thinking about it and then just writing about it. And sometimes I have to do research about it to find out, to get the details, to get the specifics correct. So it is complicated. There's a lot that goes into it. And when you're thinking about writing a book, you get this idea, and your idea is maybe one or two sentences long, but the book has to be 70 some thousand words in length. So there's a lot of distance to cover. There's a lot of territory. A lot of things have to happen, and they all have to work together and be intertwined and keep the story going, moving the plot along, getting the characters to function, to relate to each other. So yes, I do spend time on all of that. I spend a lot of time just plotting out the story before I actually start writing. There are people who sit down and they do an admirable job. They have an idea. They sit down, they start writing, and they get it all done. And my mind doesn't work that way. I need to know the story before I can start writing it, because then I don't worry about, well, what's next? What happens now? Because I already know. I know the story. I just now have to write it. And, you know, people work at this process differently, and that happens to be my process. And since it works for me, it's the one I use.
So it's a pretty detailed outline that you write out, or is it?
It's not so much an outline as a roadmap. You know, when you think of outline, you think of the classic Roman numeral and, you know, capital letter and then lowercase and all that. This is just a bullet point of actions from beginning all the way through. And I don't even think in terms of chapters. I did originally. I used to try to think in terms of chapters. Now I just think of what happens next, what happens next, what happens next, until I get it all done. And the first go through on this, I might have 13 pages of plot, you know, dots going down the page. By the time I'm ready to write the book, that has grown to 23 or 24 pages. And then the whole story is there with every single thing that's going to happen. It's, you know, when people do, you know, producers or directors who make movies do storyboards where they draw a picture for each scene. Right. In a sense, that's what this plot, this kind of plotting out is doing, but it's in words. So and it's just a few, you know, it's not like complete descriptions or anything. It's just, you know, the doorbell rings or, you know, this happens or that happens. But it just moves the story along and lets me see if there's enough action, if I've sort of lost track of one of the important characters. Oops, they haven't showed up for, you know, quite a few of the little plot, you know, plot dots here. And I better do something to bring them back in. And I'll give you an example from the second book where Kupiak has, you know, the dog, he has a dog and the dog has the puppies. And in the very beginning of the book, he deals with the puppies. He has to take care of them and feed them before he responds to this call he's gotten. And then I did my first plot outline and I realized that I had not mentioned the puppies again. And I thought, well, either there are no puppies or the puppies have to make another appearance. And then, you know, so as a writer, it's then, well, how, you know, I'm not writing a book on how to raise puppies, but if they're going to be in there, they have to show up how many times should be. So I decided that 4 times would be good for the whole book. And so then I had to find out where those 4 times. So it kind of then, you know, this plot grows internally with something that is really, you know, it doesn't seem important, puppies, but people don't live in vacuums. You know, there are things in their lives, you know, they have the furnace that doesn't work, they have the car that stalls, they have the puppies that have to be fed. You know, there are other things going on in their lives. And what's interesting is that one of the emails I got after that book came out was from a reader who thought the puppies were wonderful. And he said, the puppies allowed Kubiak allowed the reader to see Kubiak in an emotional way, relating to these little puppies in an emotional way that he couldn't relate to people.
Wow!
And so the puppies worked. I mean, they had an important role, but that's it. Really does take a lot of those kinds of things to make a character seem real, to make them seem human. Yeah. They make mistakes. Kubiak sometimes has his foot on the edge of like where the law says it should be. And does he edges over a little bit because, as my one reader said, he does the right thing. You know, he knows someone needs help, so he helps them, even though maybe he shouldn't be doing that. He's the kind, you know, if you get in trouble, you want Kubiak to be the person to come to your door. That's the kind of guy he is.
Oh, man. Patricia Skalka, our guest today, the book Death Washes Ashore, what we're talking about today, the sixth in her Dave Kubiak mystery series. Lisa in East Troy would like to know if the series is available as audiobooks.
Oh, unfortunately not. Not yet. I think that may be in the offing at some point, but that is up to my publisher, the University of Wisconsin Press. And I know it's something that has been is under consideration, but they're not available as audiobooks yet.
Hopefully they will be at some point. You know, you were talking about plots and writing out the plots. In this book, you have a lot of possible murder suspects in the book. And I'm just wondering about keeping track of all of them as you were talking about the puppies, but just keeping track of all the murder suspects. They have to appear more than once, too.
Oh, well, what I do when I have this beat line or plot, you know, everything plotted out with all these little bullet points, I will then take different, different color marker and just circle or underline, highlight someone. So, for example, Evelyn Bouffard, who is the retired coroner, he might, every time his name shows up, it might be in blue. And then someone else will be all in orange and someone else will be all in yellow. So when I spread the pages out and I look at it, I can see if, let's say there's an important, you know, there's a suspect who's marked with purple and they're there only one time or two times, then I know, oops, that's not enough. I have to figure something out, some way to weave them into the story in another place during the evolution of the story. So I color code the characters' names, and it really, it's a visual. It's very helpful. And that's how I keep track of them.
It's quite a process. Let's take a call. Kay in Madison, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Kay. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have a question. Has the hero ever had a love interest in Door County, or do you ever plan to bring in someone like that?
Well, the short answer is yes. but it's something that he has to come to terms with. It doesn't happen immediately and quickly, and it doesn't happen necessarily without its own little bumps and bruises along the way. But yes, that's part of his kind of moving through time and re-embracing life.
Yeah, and he meets someone, and in this book he's married and with a child.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not.
Yeah.
Kay, and he does indeed have a love interest. Thank you for that question. Deb in Plymouth emailed to ask if you have used Cave Point in any of your settings, and do you live in Door County?
I have not used Cave Point in any of my settings. And in fact, there are many wonderful locations in Door County that I haven't used, because there's just so many of them that would make great, you know, spots for a crime or, you know, some part of the story. I live in Milwaukee, but I have a cottage in Door County. So I'm up there during the warmer. It's a summer cottage. It's not year round. So I am up there during the warmer times of the year, and I've been going there for 40 some years, you know, so I've been there, I've spent a lot of time there and been to many of the, you know, all the whole favorites.
as have I, and I'll be there in July with my daughter Emily. We'll be doing a little trip there, and we do every year, and it's always something to look forward to, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. To me, it's like the minute you know, you're there 2 minutes and the sense of relaxation and kind of peace just kind of settles in, because it's such a special, special place. In fact, I have to just say that last year during the height of COVID, USA Today did a special article on if you couldn't travel, well, how about a book that would take you to each of the 50 states. And they chose one book, most of them were fiction, a couple were nonfiction, to kind of represent each of the 50 states in the country. And for Wisconsin, they chose Death Stalks Door County.
Oh,
yeah,
wonderful.
Amazing. Yeah. So
I wonder how did you see a pretty good? What's how can I put this? How were book sales during the COVID period?
Book sales were good. People were reading. And it really was a way to travel, you know, to get outside of your isolation or wherever you happen to be, you know, kind of a limited. Everybody, you know, I think for most of us, our world shrunk quite a bit. And by reading and by reading, mysteries were enormously popular. I think because in a mystery, there is a puzzle, there's a solution, and you have a sense of order. And things being settled, and they were, you know, somehow that was like in contrast to the world we were living in, where things were not ordered or settled, and there was so much that was just unknown. When you read a mystery, you go through the process and you figure it out, and that brings a lot of satisfaction. And so people were embracing mysteries, especially, and I think book sales were good. Independent bookstores still had to really struggle for many of them. It was difficult, but they just rose to the challenge, and they were stalwarts of the communities that they're in. I really admire the hard work that booksellers did to keep their doors open, even if it was just doing curbside pickup. You know, they were really helping to service their customers.
Another listener wonders if there's certain rules that mystery authors follow when they write a book, because the readers might get upset about something, like how many suspects, or not having the murderer come out of nowhere, for example.
There are guidelines, I would say, rather than rules. I think you want to have a reasonable number of suspects, but not so many that it becomes totally confusing or doesn't seem realistic. Also, you don't want a solution to just come, just kind of coming in at the end that doesn't make any sense. Deus ex machia is the term, you know, like an act of God, you know, suddenly it's resolved and there's been no premise for it, no logical lead up to that. What you want to do in a mystery is have the crime fairly close to the beginning, you know, the body in the library or whatever, and then you need to have some major turnaround point where you think the protagonist is going in the right direction to solve it, and then that doesn't work for whatever reason. Maybe the prime suspect is killed, or something else happens, so suddenly the protagonist has to go off in another direction, find the actual, you know, then start in the direction that will lead to the actual solution. So you have red herrings along the way, things that will mislead the reader and will mislead the person who's trying to solve the crime. So these are, you know, you think this person may have done it, or you think that person may have done it, and then it turns out, nope, they didn't. When you get to the end of the book, you want the reader to be able to, sometimes the reader will figure it out, but hopefully not till the end. But if they don't, and you as the author then reveal the solution, you name the criminal, the reader should, you want the reader to say, oh yeah, right, of course. And to realize that all of the little details, all of the little clues were there all along. And when you think back on it, it's like, yes, obviously that's the person who did it.
I was thinking, as you were just talking, I was thinking about an author who was a best-selling author. This is some years back now, and I read his first three books. By the third book, there was a character introduced just briefly in the first chapter, and then you didn't see that person again until the very end, and that was the person who did it. And I went back and looked at the other two books, and I thought, this is this person's pattern in all three books. there's somebody introduced right away in the beginning, and then you don't hear from them again until right at the end. And so I quit reading the series. I was kind of disappointed in it. That certainly is not the case in your books. The murder, it's not easy to pick out from one book to the next who the who did it in the end, and that's something I like.
Well, I work hard at that, you know, because it is a challenge, because you don't I don't want to get into a pattern. The one thing I do try to maintain in the books, and this is just because it's something I enjoy when I read books, I always like to have the crime occurring in the present time with a link to something from the past. And if you looked back at each of the books, you would see that in fact, there always is a link to something from the past. And I like, you know, I like to read books like that. So therefore I thought, well, why shouldn't I try and write books like that? If that's what appeals to me. So that's the pattern, I guess, that you would say that I have, but it doesn't always necessarily mean that the event from the past is going to help you identify the killer. It's going to have some influence on the story. But where it goes will depend on how the story has to evolve in a natural way. That's what authors do try to work on. You know, there has to be a natural progression. And I think in mystery, you know, sometimes we read about crimes in the news that just seems so horribly random, you know, someone being killed for a pair of shoes, or just, you know, horrible, tawdry, kind of shallow reasons. And to me, I try to write books where people feel, you know, the murderer really feels justified. People can rationalize anything. Murder is a heinous crime. I mean, there's no coming back from it. So how do you justify that? And what I'm hoping is that my readers would kind of maybe think, well, what would I do in that situation? I mean, I'm not condoning what my murderers do, you know, what my suspects do, but I try to give a sense of maybe their desperation, their rationale, how they rationalized it to themselves. And, you know, I mean, there are certain stories, certain characters. I think, what the heck would I do in that situation? How would I react to something that had happened that affected me so deeply? Would I want to respond by killing somebody that I thought was responsible for it?
Yeah. Sort of another angle I just wanted to ask about. There's conflict between locals and visitors in your books at times. Do you ever get comments from readers about that?
No. I got one comment from a business owner in Door County once, and this was about there was people who are pro-development and those who are kind of against a lot of development, and that was part and parcel of one plot line. And one of the business owners said to me, she read the book, she said, it's like you sat in on all our meetings. You know, human nature doesn't change depending on where you are. So the way people react and what their needs are, what their desires are, or motivations, really is pretty universal, whether you're in a place like Door County, or whether you're in a small town, or whether you're in a big city. So I haven't heard comments about locals versus, you know, tourists, but certainly there are, you know, there's a tension there. There's a conflict and a need. It's a support system. I mean, the tourists come because they want what's there, and the locals, especially if you're a business person, you want the tourists, but you also at some point, you know, are happy when they go home because you have your downtime then. But tourism is a huge part of the economic engine for Door County. So it, and it's not just true there. I mean, it's true in many places around the world. So this kind of tension exists.
You have some events coming up. I wanted to be sure to give you a moment to talk about. I know there's an in-person book signing.
There is an in-person presentation at the Brookfield Library in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and that is in June. That will be, well, actually, there's one at the end of this month. I should jump to that first. That is on May 30th, Memorial Day weekend. I'll be on Washington Island at Fair Isle Books. That's in the afternoon from 1 to 3, a lovely bookstore. And then there is a virtual event on June 8th. That is at the Mercer Library, or through the Mercer Library up in northern Wisconsin. That's at 6:30 p.m., and anyone can sign on for that. I think you just go to their website, and then there will be a link that will be provided. And then on the 23rd of June, I will be, and that's a Wednesday, I'll be at the Brookfield Public Library here just outside of Milwaukee, and that is at 6:30. And that will be an author talk, a reading, and then also books will be available, and I'll be signing.
Wow. And are you already working on your next?
Yes, I am.
Now, is it set in Door County?
Let me guess. Indeed it is.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Patricia, I hope the book does well. I assume it will. And I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today to talk about it. Patricia, great talking with you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Larry. It's always just a pleasure to be a guest on your show. So I'm very happy to be here.
Patricia Skalka is the author of the book Death Washes Ashore. Death Washes Ashore. And you go to your local bookstore. I'm sure you can order them online, but give the local book people an opportunity to sell you a copy of the book. Patricia Skalka, Death Washes Ashore. Well, we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk with you about how to talk with others about those COVID-19 vaccines, among other things, with our next guest. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.